politics without the soap opera, with unfiltered constitutional conservative truth. The Conservative Review with Daniel Horowitz.
And welcome back, fellow American patriots and Minutemen, standing at the ready to fight anew for life, liberty, and property with a sense of urgency and alacrity. If we really have that sense of urgency, we certainly have that here at CR Podcast. This is your host, Daniel Horowitz, back here today for Tuesday, the 13th of March. Or the 12th of March, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Friday the 13th. And it really does feel like it's Friday the 13th all the time, because we're living this perpetual nightmare. Perpetual nightmare. Where we basically have a public that gets it on the issues. Gets it, you know, close enough to where we could win an election. Not where you guys in the audience are, but enough relative to how far over the cliff the left is and the Democrats are. But then we can't utilize it. Because we have a movement that is so focused on fighting in the abstract. Okay, fighting about something that's not in front of us, giving excuses about something that's deep, esoteric, intangible, distant, while ignoring the tangible, the actual, what is there in the flesh in front of us. So in other words, we have a movement saying, oh, the Republican Party is terrible. But then literally today, we have the Mississippi primaries that no one will talk about, where there's a challenger, two challengers to Roger Wicker, challengers to the Rhino incumbent in the House District 4. But I'm the only one who's pushing this. Trump endorses Wicker. So we just sleep on through another primary. We talk about in the abstract inflation and invasion. It's probably the two top issues, but we certainly have, like we talked about yesterday, the war on whites. We have the indoctrination of the gender ideology. We have a lot of different things going on, but inflation and invasion are very easily understood by the public. Okay, a lot of things the public doesn't get. They're brainwashed. We have education problems, but they get the fact that they cannot afford a basic living, and they get the fact that we're overrun with a border invasion that's now affecting our communities. We have another story of a 12-year-old in Missouri who died from a drunk driving illegal alien, which there's many more that we never hear about, their immigration status. But if we did, you know, people would be up in arms, but they already are. So we have this invasion and inflation that the public gets, and the GOP and the conservative industry talks about in the abstract. But then when it comes game time, which is literally now through the next few days, this time next week, they're going to vote on the remaining half of government that funds the inflation and funds the invasion. And by the way, funds the weaponization too. Now you have Special Counsel Robert Hur, his opening statement, quote, "My team and I conducted a thorough independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen." It's his opening statement. With that statement alone, it would be so simple to have a fight over funding Jack Smith's prosecution of Trump and the double standard. But alas, the GOP has just funded DOJ for the remainder of the fiscal year. Did you know that? Last week, that was part of the first half of the funding bill. And Trump will weigh in on the TikTok bill on the other side of it. But what's funny is he won't weigh in on the budget bill. And that's because he supports it, and he has thrown in completely with the corporatists. This is the dirty little secret, and I warned about this a long time ago. I said, if you have a primary and you don't attempt to at least make him sweat a little bit, make him debate, you know, even if you weren't all in for DeSantis or all out for Trump, but somewhere in the middle at least, so that at least if Trump wins, he'll move to the right. But because we didn't do that, we're now stuck almost 8 months before an election. It's plenty of time. This guy is farther to the left than he's ever been. And I want to chronicle some of this. You put it all together, the Bud Light stuff, the vaccine stuff, the inexplicably supporting TikTok out of nowhere. Well, not really, because it's all about donors. He is so desperate for money that he has thrown himself at the system. Do you think for a minute that's going to change if he were to win and become president? All the people he owes as favors that he's already paying off now? It's not even about flattery or sycophancy anymore. He's straight up chasing the corporate money. I mean, it's Orwellian. You look from man to pig and from pig to man and no longer know which one is which. This is Animal Farm par excellence. But this is the thing. We talk about, oh, the deep state in the abstract. Trump endorses a deep state guy. We talk about this in the abstract. Oh, chase the squirrel. It's the Dems. It's the media. It's the deep, deep state. It's the stolen election. Oh, it's Biden and the border. But on each one of those things, so it gives off the impression that it's something distant, something out of our hands to redress. Well, we don't have the power. It's just some people pulling levers in some room that we can't find. It's not that mystical. It's out in front of us. When you only have one team on a field and you allow them to control all three branches of all governments in all states, everywhere, every time, and you have a fake opposition busy drifting and grifting, doesn't believe in anything, doesn't know anything, doesn't strive for anything. So yeah, they're going to take everything over. I mean, it's not some sort of deep, dark conspiracy. It's out in front of us. You don't have to talk about the deep state when we have a shallow state problem of everyone around Trump and the people he supports and the interests he supports and the policy positions he takes are prima facie the same thing as the swamp. We could talk about a stolen election. And again, there's truth to a deep state, a stolen election. We all agree with that. But when you go and you sound like a selfish loser every time you talk, even within the right, even to the point where Alex Jones and Roger Stone are starting to raise concerns about him. So don't be surprised that, you know, you turn off swing voters. The point is that precisely because the left is so radical and they are so destructive in what they're doing, first and foremost with inflation and invasion, but we could, you know, push that to other issues as well. If you only had a couple of selfless leaders that articulated our position, implemented our ideas, focused on those strategic leverage points to govern, even yours truly, and I'm pretty pessimistic about the public and the transformation and demographics, but because of how far out the left is, I do think we could still win at least a close election nationally, and certainly run up the score in significant swaths of the country. That is in front of us. It's like Deuteronomy 30. It's not in the heavens that you need to, you know, get some sort of an airplane to get up there. It's not over the seas that you need a ship to go there. It is close to you, this matter, to keep the statutes of the Torah. It's in your mouth and your heart to do it. It's right there in front of you. If we only merely influenced the big cheese of the party and all the people who take refuge under his political umbrella and pressure them to do the right thing and focus on the primaries, focus on the House budget, which we've never done for the last year and a half, and that I warned from day one that was the entire issue. We could do so much. And I'm going to continue pointing that out because we can't move on from that. But think about it. Oh, Biden, inflation, invasion, weaponization. And then literally, I'm the only one even acknowledging the budget bill. Do you think most talk radio and Fox listeners even know that Friday night they signed, sealed, and delivered DOJ funding for the remainder of the fiscal year. It's like it didn't even happen. And then the one thing he weighs in on is TikTok, the TikTok bill, which is bizarre. Now, I want to get to that. I do want to get to that. But first, I want to build up to a little bit. Yesterday, Trump gave yet another endorsement. Mike Rogers for Senate in Michigan. Now, Mike Rogers is, if you took the summation of the top 30 talk show hosts on the right for the last number of years on how terrible the GOP is and how much we need MAGA and we need Trump and we're sick of the rhinos and the establishment and the globalists, you could just summarize that with two words, Mike Rogers. Okay, Mike Rogers embodies everything. He is literally an agent of the CIA when he was Intel Committee chair. He's a leftist on every single issue, and he never liked Trump. In fact, in 2022, he said Trump's time has passed. But nonetheless, Trump endorsed Rogers for Senate. Now, I've been focused on this because the notion that you're somehow going to knock off an incumbent Democrat in Michigan, we haven't done that in two generations. We've spent, it's funny, every time the Democrat seat is up in Michigan, the Republicans spend so much money on primaries, general, and they don't even come close. So it's not going to happen. So I don't care. And yes, it is true that there really aren't good options because the other guy was a former congressman who was also a rhino. And then you have Justin Amash, who's very complicated. He's a progressive libertarian. So on some issues like budget, he'll be, you know, very anti-establishment, but then he's, you know, social liberal and he loves Hamas and kind of weird. But, you know, that's not the point. It's not that Trump is going around the map being very careful. Okay, I want the seats. It's all where the system is taking him. Steve Daines is like, I need an endorsement there. He gets it. And by the way, there was a better option. This guy, Pensler, who had a lot of money, is a businessman. Now, I don't know much about him because I don't care. Michigan's not going anywhere, so don't quote me on this. Could be he's a fraud. I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. But he doesn't have a rhino record. He doesn't have a record, and he's running on all the things you would want to hear, which is why Vivek endorsed him. Okay, so if you're a MAGA type of guy that you don't need a record and you want to hear the rhetoric, he's certainly throwing it out there. That would have been a logical MAGA endorsement, but no. He is a corporatist, and that's what I'm telling you. He's starting to endorse a lot of people that have said bad things about him. It's not even the flattery anymore. He's just straight up throwing himself at these people. Those of you who thought that with the departure of Ivanka, somehow he would move over to the right, you're mistaken. Let's not kid ourselves about that. And then we have Matt Rosendale. Matt Rosendale is out. Not only is he not running for Senate, now he's been destroyed, he's not running for House anymore. So we lost one. Who knows if we'll even fill that seat with a Freedom Caucus guy. That's the power of Trump's negative efficacy. And then now you have the only opportunity so far to knock out any incumbent, even in the House. The Senate, we have zero because Trump carpet bombed that. But in the House, you have Tony Gonzalez, Texas 23. Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor, just endorsed Gonzalez over Herrera in the primary, in the runoff. And he's thick as thieves with Trump. And now they're trying to point out things that Herrera said that wasn't pro-Trump. And see, this is the game now. The rhinos could say whatever they want about Trump and be a rhino on every issue. But our guys, you could have a challenger who's good, much better on the issues. If they could find something he said about Trump, it all becomes about that. And then also, Trump originally did endorse Gonzalez 2 years ago when there was a better option. So I'm not saying he did it yet, but I'm putting it all together. I'd be shocked if Trump doesn't come down on the side of Gonzalez. Every single incumbent. You tell me how this is defensible. You tell me how we can go on like this 8 months before the election, okay? This is not like, shh, shh, don't say anything. Just wait a couple weeks. We'll deal with it. No, no, no. Right now, we need answers. Because this is not happening. There is something really dark there. And again, notice that Trump came out with alacrity against the budget, against the TikTok bill. See, then he opens his mouth, but not against the budget bill. And by the way, I'm sick of hearing about, I don't want to hear a word about the inflation and invasion from any of these people. Republicans are just as responsible for both originally inducing it and then not redressing it. So this is the thing. They all fight in the abstract. There's this fake fantasy of a movement. All the establishment and then the Trump comes in and fight. No, it's the same thing. We're 7 years into this. He has full control over the party. Okay, Lara Trump is the big leader of the RNC now. Big expert on politics. You know, really shares our values. You ever see that picture of her with Bruce Jenner? Bruce is dressing up like a woman, and she's out there with bulging biceps. I know it's off brand for me, but you know they're the ones that are like the ancient Greeks who worship bodies and make fun out of everyone else's physical appearances. So, you know, I didn't know this was the thing on the fake right now. Have like the girl boss, yeah, the tough muscle women. Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. It's funny that the right has adopted that as well, but whatevs. Anyway, this is what we value, and there's a lot of talk about her, you know, firing a bunch of people at the RNC, but, you know, from the stories I'm seeing drip out, it's not clear that they're the incompetent people. They're being fired for personal reasons. One didn't wear enough makeup, or at least she's claiming that. Kimberly Kerfoil, the other sister-in-law, I don't know, is she a sister-in-law? No, I don't think they're married, or are they? I forget if she's Don Jr.'s concubine or whatever. Again, I can't keep up with what's in our values nowadays. So that's going on there. But meanwhile, Trump comes out and supports TikTok. So very rarely could we accomplish anything with bipartisan support because usually we don't even have one party. So you finally have the House that pretty much unanimously voted to ban TikTok. Now, there are some legitimate principled libertarians that don't like the idea and feel it could be used against us. But the reality is they're already using against us. There's one thing if it's in the U.S. and then you start manipulating, you know, who could use it, how could use it. But just to straight up block it from China when it's an asset of China, that is within the powers of the government, given that it is, you know, an agent of our enemy, a tracking device of our enemy. So you know what? Why not at least get the benefits of all the social rock gut, all this masculinizing women and feminizing men and tranny stuff and all this mindless craziness that has taken root the last number of years on TikTok? Hey, if we have an opportunity to pull the plug on it, why not? But nonetheless, out of nowhere comes Trump and Vivek, because they have the same donor, this Yas guy, that is involved in TikTok, and suddenly they oppose the bill. So no, they're not opposing it for the libertarian reasons. This is from Newsweek. Steve Bannon, the one-time advisor to Donald Trump, suggested on Saturday that the former president was paid off after a shift in stance on TikTok. TikTok, the immensely popular video-sharing app known for its predominantly young audience, has once again come under scrutiny. The app is currently owned by Chinese tech company ByteDance. While ByteDance and TikTok have dismissed these accusations, lawmakers have continued to consider their options. And, basically this now heads to the Senate, but in the House, we really had bipartisan support. So Trump goes and says some stupid thing. If you get rid of TikTok, Facebook will double their business. Like, it's just stupid. First of all, they don't understand. I mean, I like know nothing about social media. I'm horrible on it. I don't have a Facebook. I don't do Facebook. I don't do any of this stuff except for Twitter. But I know enough that Facebook is not like TikTok. It's not a replica of it. So, you know, it's just a stupid argument. But the reality is that Jeff Yass had a meeting with Trump, and he has a $33 billion stake in TikTok, and he got Trump to flip. So it's not a libertarian argument. It's nothing. There's nothing cute. There's nothing, you know, that you don't know about. It's nothing abstract. It's right in front of you. Open your eyes. As my colleague Steve Days talked about yesterday with Vivek, he so emphatically called TikTok the, you know, social media fentanyl that he literally savaged Nikki Haley to her face during the debates about Nikki's own daughter going on TikTok. And then he goes and says we shouldn't be banning it. Literally, I mean, this is the guy that has been elevated for an entire year on conservative media as the second coming, and there's nothing there. This is what we do. We elevate people that were working with pharma on pharma surveillance, by the way, technology, advising DeWine in Ohio for lockdowns, and he rides in like a hero. And yet the man that actually fought corporatism in every sense in Florida, like we've never seen in our lifetime. I'm going to play a video for you soon why that's so important. The corporatism is the core of why we can't make a red state red. That is the core issue. And we spit on DeSantis, and we elevate not just Trump, but his new mini-me, Vivek. And they both flip on a dime because we're just so tantalized by rhetoric, aesthetics, superficiality. We love the abstract, but we never want what's right in front of us tangible. It's not that complicated. Look, there's going to be a limit to how much we could achieve coming decades into a controlled opposition, even if we created a movement now. But we definitely have the red states, and it definitely is possible to win a narrow victory nationally if you had a focused, sincere, consistent leader and movement. It's not that hard. But instead, what we do is we self-sabotage, and then we make excuses. Oh, it's the Democrats, the media, the deep state. None of those entities are getting Trump to do that. Well, actually, they are, but that's from his own free will, joining with it. Nobody is saying we have to pass these budget bills. Every day, more people die at the hands of illegals. And there's nothing that could happen that will prompt the fight. Because Trump's like, they can't shut the government down. So we're just going to continue this. So we finally had momentum to get rid of such a civilization harm. And now, you got problems. This is from Politico. The Senate GOP is doing its thing. Rand Paul has his libertarian issues. But then you got Senator Todd Young, the rhino from Indiana. Rather than naming specific companies, we should instead articulate what functionality is of concern. Oh, okay. Well, whatever that means. Elizabeth Warren. The legislation shouldn't be about pulling out one particular social media outlet. So there you go. So it won't go anywhere in the Senate. Even after you get bipartisan support in the House. What a dumpster. But this is what we've elevated. So what I'm asking, to be clear, what I'm asking of you and my colleagues is this. For those of you who once again say, but then what do we do with either Biden or Trump? We have 8 months left. Okay? You could pressure him and lodge your complaints and your disappointment it will have an effect, at least in getting him off our lawn, so we can then, number two, action item, is to concurrently create a parallel. Doesn't have to get rid of him as the nominee. I mean, that would be nice, but I don't expect that. But create a parallel universe where we actually have an agenda that's not being sabotaged by Trump, whether it's a political agenda, a legislative agenda, the Bud Light stuff, and obviously the primaries. Which leads me back to South Carolina. It is one of the most egregious things imaginable that Trump is supporting William Timmons over my friend Adam Morgan in South Carolina 4. Timmons represents everything we hate with the swamp. Adam Morgan represents everything we would want in a candidate, everything we would want in our attempt to try to change the party. And Trump comes and carpet bombs us. This is from Fox News. Oh gosh, where is this? Don't tell me it's behind a paywall. See, this show is kind of serendipitous, so I didn't prepare this beforehand. But anyway, incumbent South Carolina Representative Timmons hit with resurfaced videos of him supporting DEI in Congress. Now, this guy, I'm just going to tell you, this Timmons guy, I mean, there's some really nasty stuff there. Fooling around with a mistress while in Congress. Maybe that's why Trump endorsed him. But I want to introduce you to Adam Morgan. I already talked about Adam. We had him on the show. We'll have him on again. Primaries in June. But I want you guys to listen to this 2 minute or so clip of Adam Morgan. Again, he's a House rep in South Carolina legislature, chairman of the Freedom Caucus. He's debating what appears to be a Democrat in the video about the role of the state spending money with this crony capitalism to try to bring specific companies in with incentives. And this is single-handedly what is A, demographically messed up red states because they bring all their gay workers in, and B, makes the state government beholden to their woke policies. This is the linchpin. It's this point. This is the obsessive governance of Nikki Haley and Henry McMaster in South Carolina to try to just throw themselves at corporations, whatever you want, which is why when last year we tried to get a ban on Chinese land ownership and divesting the state government from China, Henry McMaster made sure to scuttle those bills. And by the way, Henry McMaster is one of Trump's favorite governors. But this is a debate clip between Adam Morgan, and I don't know who this rep is. I think he's from the Columbia area. But anyway, this took place yesterday in the chamber. Take a listen very carefully.
The pressure in here in Columbia is for me to not even vote red on the board. Y'all might not know this. A dark money entity that was created on Tuesday, the day after we voted for this, I went home and an attack piece went out in my whole district about the fact that I voted for this. I get that the people in Columbia, that the lobby wants me to either not vote or to vote green on this. But my constituents want me to vote red, and they want their tax money spent on core government functions, on their roads, on their schools. That's what they want their money spent on. So they don't want us in here trying to play this government planning thing where we in our bureaus can figure out where the job should be, who should be employed, how much money should be allocated where in the private sector. It never works. It's socialism. It's never worked anywhere before. So what are we doing trying to do it here?
But wait, would you consider the fact that South Carolina's track record on bringing major projects into this state has a winning record, and therefore, again, commerce should be listened to rather than those people back in your district that may not have ever brokered a deal, may not understand what it means of being a project, may not understand economic incentives. So what you're suggesting is we should listen to the people back home in your district rather than the people at Commerce that have been successful at bringing these mega deals to South Carolina.
Mr. Rutherford, I don't think that you could have espoused a philosophy that disagrees more fundamentally than me. I completely disagree with you, and I think that you believe what you just said. But no, I 100% am going to listen to the people back home who I represent in this House. And you should listen to the 40,000 people in your area and not the bureaucrats at Commerce and not the lobbyists and not the multi-billion dollar international corporations. You should listen to your constituents like I am. So yes, I will always fall back on the common sense of the wonderful people from Taylor's and Greenville Eastside far more than I will ever listen to unelected bureaucrats, other representatives in here who have been here for far too long and have maybe managed a whole lot of these deals, and far more than I will ever listen to any member out there.
So, Mr. Morgan, we don't.
Okay, folks, so you heard that. They're talking about this crony Commerce, and this is the central debate. The central debate we now have going on. This was a Democrat, but the establishment Republicans believe in the same thing. Don't do what's good for the people. Listen to the experts. Now, obviously, we all understand the Burkean governance. There is a time not to have just unbridled populism and pander to people and do what's right, but that's not what they're referring to. They are referring to that governance is all like a monopoly game, and you're just buying up jobs. Just, I want electric vehicle jobs. I want wind and solar. Here it is, carbon capture. Here it is. And by the way, there's a lot of that in South Carolina. It's just a garbage can. Whatever you want to bring down. Federal money here. Go get it. Let's go incentivize this. Rather than you just make a bare minimum regulatory and tax climate for everyone, drive down the middle, the whole of the people. It's this cronyism. This is the central point as to why red states aren't red. And look how beautifully Adam Morgan articulated our position. Wouldn't you rather a guy like that in Congress? Isn't that sort of the national anthem of the MAGA movement? What Adam Morgan articulated? And yet Trump is carpet bombing this guy. I just don't get it. But these are the sorts of candidates that we're disincentivizing to run. And we're incentivizing people like Kristi Noem. So Kristi Noem is out with this really queer video out of nowhere. She posts on her Twitter this 5-minute promotion for a dentist that fixed her teeth. And like, I'm in Texas all the time now, because she is taking photo ops. And there's a smile, Texas, and there's a dentist there. It's just bizarre. But this is the sort of debasement campaign that a lot of them are engaged in, the grift. And then I just watch all these videos from her on the border. It's the same thing. What's the border? The border is something that, we don't control DHS, it's Biden. So it's something you're able to palm off on Biden. And she talks about Laken Riley like all of them do. But Laken Riley, as we noted, every bit as much of a border issue was an interior enforcement issue. That you had areas in red state Georgia that were still sanctuaries. The reality is, Kristi Noem has not proposed a single enforcement bill. And the governor in Florida is going to be signing a new one. They've had a number of them in Florida, and there's more they could do. They have a grand jury, and they gave a bunch of recommendations on what Florida could do, and they're going down the list and implementing it, at least for now and next session. Might even be a special session. She has done nothing in South Dakota. And if someone would propose it, just like landowners' rights, she would oppose it. Because she loves the cheap labor. Because she loves the corporatism. She loves, let's go just bring them all to South Dakota, which is why she wouldn't even support the female sports bill, which is kind of like the fake conservative, tranny agenda, because it really does nothing for us, right? But it's just pathetic. Utterly pathetic. I don't know what to say. So it's all in the abstract. But when it's actually in front of you, again, what's the power we have? If I would add all the money, assets, noisemakers, elected officials on the right, it's control of the House, most importantly with the budget bill. It's the red state governors and legislatures. And it's all the primaries that are going on right now. And yet I'm literally the only one even talking about any of this stuff. It's the abstract deep state, the abstract weaponization, the abstract illegal immigration, the abstract inflation. But then when it actually hits you, when it comes game time, and the plays are there to be made, they're either absent or scoring points for the other team, and our greatest asset of all time, at the top, is increasingly bought into that crony corporatist agenda. Remember, the left has always controlled academia, media, entertainment, the foundations, the education cartel. What they have really turned over in this past generation that has accelerated the destruction of our civilization is the control of corporate America. And that's what we need to confront head on. And that's what Trump is as thick as thieves with. And that's where you're seeing with the TikTok thing. That's what you're seeing with all his endorsements. It's all the donors. He is so desperate for cash. Remember, that was one of his biggest selling points. Republicans, the problem with the Republican Party was a very good argument. Problem with the party is they all rely on these donors. I don't need it. And now he needs it more than anyone else. That's why you never nominate a guy that's desperate for cash for his legal bills, who's already soulless and has no principles and is vulnerable to flattery and being paid off, even on a good day. You never take a guy like that and make him your everything. Not just your nominee, but your end all. An arbiter of legislative support and whatever. So you're starting to see people like Stone and Steve Bannon and Alex Jones slowly start to like, oh boy, we kind of have a problem here. So what I'm telling you folks is it's quite evident those guys have zero control over him. Remember, I mean, I don't understand why Steve keeps coming back to him, but Steve was kicked out of the admin quicker than anyone. He was kicked out after 7 months, 6 months. So, folks, we're not winning this. But you know what? It doesn't have to be this way. Let me tell you this. Last week, we did a show on this case in Indiana, where you had a Christian couple that had a kid that was suffering mental illness, got an eating disorder, and then along with that, this gender stuff. And the Indiana Department of Child Services took away the kid because they wouldn't use transgender pronouns. Happened in a red state. With all this Republican infrastructure. And I was thinking, how could that even happen for so long? And there's nobody speaking out. So after I did that show on Thursday, I went and I tagged Todd Rakita, the attorney general, on Twitter. Now, to be clear, Rakita's AG. He's not in charge of, you know, it's more the governor in charge of that stuff. So he didn't cause this, but he's defending it in the Supreme Court. When there's numerous ways you could confess error, something called confessing error. If you're an AG, you could confess error and say, I believe that the lower court erred and I don't want to push the appeal. You're never compelled to. Blue state AGs never defend things that they don't want to defend. But whatever. Anyway, I tagged him on Twitter. Within 5 minutes, he personally responds. And he's like, he gets all defensive. So he says two things that contradict each other. Number one, he says that, oh, I have to, as AG, sitting AG, I have to defend it. And then number two, then he says, well, it wasn't about transgender nouns. It was pronouns. It was about an eating disorder. And then I blew it up because it literally is not true. You see that in the filing documents. You see in the argument in the trial court from DCS. It was absolutely all about the transgenderism. They just had to prove that there's some sort of harm to Embark. So they say, oh, well, it's an eating disorder. But it was 100% about that. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. So it's funny. Todd, you know, contradicts himself. He's like, well, look, there's nothing I could do. I know it's terrible. And then sides with it. So whenever you have a politician that does that, you know, actually it is in their hands to do otherwise, but they agree with it. But the point is, now I have possibly a reporter who might be working on this, rejuvenating this as a news cycle there, simply because little old me called out a guy. See, I didn't call out the governor because Holcomb is literally a Democrat. I mean, he doesn't care. But Rakita is kind of like more like a Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick, Ken Paxton. They want to be in our good graces, and I knew he wouldn't want to be on the short end of conservative angst against him. So I tagged him. And you could see it landed. That's how easy it is. And if you only directed your golden calf in that direction, boy, oh boy, could you accomplish. But instead, we allowed him to take over and smother any movement we have. So either he destroys us or he's silent on something, but that in itself stifles our ability to ever grow out of this. It's truly unbelievable. But just know it doesn't have to be this way. Results are for God. But the inputs, that's for us. And there's a lot that is within our power to do. Again, a lot of this is a blessing in disguise. The left is so destructive. See, gone are the days where the left would try to manipulate things so it looks like everything's good. I want to give you handouts. They're openly saying, I want to invade you. I want to replace you. I want to create crime. I want inflation. I mean, even in Biden's own budget that the White House just put out, they openly admit that there's going to be indefinite inflation. Remember, we're beyond the stage of libertine America. This is demonic. It doesn't even play upon the rote, animalistic instincts of a human being to just want pleasure. It actually works against it. It's this pagan demonic stoicism. So from a political level, gone are the days where Dems had that FDR coalition where we love America. Yeah, America's great. We want everyone to have upward mobility. They obviously, you know, dress up their socialism in that sort of language, but you could see how that's a lot harder to run against. This is very easy. But Trump makes it so easy for the left to just avoid that debate. And then he doesn't even allow us to at least create a parallel market of people like Adam Morgans, because you just get more Christy Gnomes, more Carrie Lakes, people with no values or dummies, or just sometimes, increasingly, the same old establishment. I mean, that's what you're starting to see with his endorsement in the New York Senate race, with Rogers, with Timmons. It's not even like the Elise Stefanik thing, where they're trying to whore themselves out to conservative media. These guys are like the armpit of the antiquated establishment. But, alas, we can't have nice things. Because we're always focused on a bogeyman that's not in front of us. Either that doesn't exist, or if it does, it's not in our power to deal with. It's too far removed. But what is in front of us, we ignore. And that's why I don't want to hear about a deep state when you have a shallow state that is a problem. You have no idea the sort of cabinet Trump would have if he were to become president. I'm just telling you. It would be people like Mike Rogers. It would be people like Tim Scott, Doug Burgum. I promise you. It just drives me nuts. But someone's got to speak the truth. And folks, what's so frustrating about the fact that I'm always the one that has to pull the fire alarm is that, you know, when you have a fire, a 10-alarm fire in your own castle, you would think you'd all sort of know it. You know what I mean? I'm pointing out things that decades into losing control of the culture and the corporations and every sphere of influence, I'm pointing out things that are still within our power to influence, to change, to redress, to reform. And I'm the only one who does that. It's almost like we have a pastime in obsessing only about distractions or abstract things or things that are important at a certain time, but not really when it ultimately matters. It's just so weird. Let me give you an example of how this corporatism, you know, we might not be able to stop it in the abstract or on the other side or in the general world, but at least in our own house, in red state primaries, we should be able to persist if we would get all these influencers to expose it. There's a really fascinating article written by Tony Kinnett of the Daily Signal. This is the Heritage Foundation sort of blog publication on the news, as opposed to just, you know, their white papers or think tanky stuff, and did a really good job here on teachers' unions quietly spend millions on GOP primaries in 32 states. Okay? And these are mainly, he's talking about state legislative elections. And in the 2012 and 2016 elections, only 12 states' teachers' unions donated to Republican primary candidates for state legislature. And of those, only 3 states' unions donated average sums of over $3,000 per Republican candidate. But then, starting in 2018, that increased to 32 states, donating up to $117,000 to some individual candidates. And his point is that these guys got smart. They're like, wait a minute. All right, so we control the Democrat Party. So that means Democrats control half the states, so we control half the states. Well, now let's go to the other states. And let's endorse all these other guys. So, you know, what he points out is that in congressional elections, they basically only support Democrats. Because why not? But in state legislative races, they're smart. They figure, all right, well, let's have a 50-state strategy. And that's what they're doing. In Alabama, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Texas, where Republican-sponsored education legislation from school choice reform to parental rights bills have consistently dominated sessions, unions have pumped hundreds of thousands into certain Republican candidates for their races. In fact, Alabama is the most. Since 2018, they have pumped more than $3 million into Alabama. And Alabama, if you notice, is so bad, we don't even have a Freedom Caucus there. So this is going on everywhere, right under our noses. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And the answer is, if you had every one of my colleagues focus on these legislative sessions, focus on these primaries, directing Trump the last 7 years to the right endorsements rather than the wrong endorsements, we could have wiped out the teachers' unions in these states. And you know how I know it? Because there's one example of where we did it. Not so much because of the teachers' unions, more because of Ken Paxton's personality, but I'll take it, and that's in Texas, like we talked about last week. Doesn't have to be this way. And speaking of how it doesn't have to be this way, I just want to get back to what we said more towards the beginning of the show today. When it comes to primaries, when it comes to budget bills, we talked about a concept of how with the border, you have the perfect mix of, on the one hand, it's a 90-10 winning issue to have a government shutdown fight over. But on the other hand, it's because right now you have that shock factor. Oh my gosh, look at what's happening. But eventually, if you go and accept that for several years and don't do anything about it, it will become the new normal. This is what we saw with Obamacare. This is what we saw with, you know, the window on COVID. You know, we had a very, I would say, evanescent window to redress COVID fascism. And then by now, everyone's kind of done with it. All right, you know, I don't care. In that case, I wouldn't say because it's popular. It's not popular, but people moved on. But in the case of Obamacare, it became popular. And we noted that you could have that to some extent with the border. So I'm here to tell you that inflation is the same thing. You will never get a better time when the government can no longer hide the data. It's so bad, everyone is feeling the pinch. But if you let it go on, that will become the new normal. It is criminal that Republicans are funding every bit of this. You know, they tried to say how inflation's going down. So the CPI numbers for February just came out today. And it's a joke. First of all, to be clear, it's never gone down. It was all a matter of the fluctuation of the rate of increase built on top of that shocking, shocking, crushing increase in 2022. There has only been 1 month of Biden's presidency where the inflation rate was truly flat, 0%. There has not been a single month where it's gone backwards, which it should, given the record increases, you know, in various months. So we now have 35 consecutive months with inflation above 3%. Okay? So the rate went down a couple months last year. Now it's gone up again, meaning the rate is increasing even more. Built on top of that, remember, inflation is cumulative. Even the 2% target is bull. We've said this before. The fact that the Federal Reserve has groomed people to tolerate that is normal is not normal. Really, before Nixon took us off the gold standard, that was not normal. But now, it's like a permanent, the core inflation was 3.8% annualized for this month. But if you actually take the last 4 months and annualize it, it would be 5.3% annualized. Again, that's cumulative. None of this has gone back. Never forget that word when you hear, oh, this month it's, you know, annualized at 4, this month it's 3.5, hey, this month it's only 2.8, and then it goes back to 3.5, to 4. That's all added. On top of the appalling 22 when we were seeing double digits. And then that's even before we get to the shrinkflation. Not just like products and goods coming in smaller packages, but there's also a report out that houses, the median house is actually getting smaller after getting bigger for like decades on end. So that's another thing. Hourly earnings were down this month 0.4%. So earnings were down, and then core inflation up 3.8%. Again, and this is the government's data. Obviously, you know, most people feel a lot more than, like, for example, over the last few years, airfares are up 31%, public transportation up 20%, used cars up 20%, apparel up 12%. Electricity up 28%, rent up 20%, baby food up nearly 30%, eating out, restaurants up 21%, groceries up around, 21.2%. But if you look at some of those numbers like groceries, I mean, most people, and I know in myself, you look at your bill now compared to a few years ago and certainly pre-COVID, it's up a lot more than, 21%. It's more like double. All the while, over the last 3 years, real average weekly wages are down 4.2%. Is it that hard to engage in a budget fight on that? And by the way, like I said, the only thing that has kept the economy afloat are the credit cards. So the credit card debt is insane. Now the average credit card charge is 24%. Household debt hitting a fresh record at nearly $150,000. And now it's gotten so bad that you're having people tap their 401ks with hardship withdrawals. It's been up 30% over the year, tripling the pre-pandemic rate. 1 in 7 Americans now has a loan against their 401k. Nearly half of those borrowed to avoid foreclosure. So remember, that's over the past year, when officially the rate of inflation over the last year is less than the rate over the previous year before it. But that's a meaningless term because it's one on top of another. So it's like, okay, I have 10% inflation year one and then 5% inflation year two. Well, that's 15%, all the while your wages haven't gone up and in numerous measures, most months they've gone down. You will never get an easier time to have a budget showdown over that as well as invasion. But we like memeing about it. Look at the Biden inflation, the Biden invasion, the Biden this, the deep state that, the Democrats this, the media that. But we will never look in the damn mirror. And until you look in the mirror, you're never going to fix anything because you can't fight the Democrats if you don't have a team yourself. You know what I mean? If they're making plays on the field and I'm in the stands just yelling at them, it doesn't do anything. If you don't have a team on the field, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. Sadly, as you should have gleaned from this show, we do have a team on the field. Oh, we absolutely have a team on the field. But through all the pomp, it turns out that team is actually scoring points for the other team. So in that sense, maybe it's worse than having no team on the field. Try to go back to having some more guests on the show. There's just been a lot of important things to go over. Let me know your questions, concerns. Follow me at RM Conservative on Twitter. Give us a 5-star rating if you haven't on iTunes so we soar above the empty calorie pro-inflammatory garbage shows. And as always, follow my columns at The Blaze. If you're not already a subscriber, it's certainly worth it for a full year's worth of content, all Blaze content. And the email is danielhorowitz@startmail.com. And folks, that's just the way it is. Okay? Ecclesiastes 10:13. Till tomorrow, God bless y'all, and thank you for listening.